We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
All right, welcome back. 3:06 on the Mark Reardon Show on this Monday. It's a gloomy Monday. We had all that nice weather last week. You heard Maria's forecast. We get a little warmer here. I think Wednesday looks good, but some rain, and we do need the rain as we were in a bit of a drought. It was unusual to have the fire warnings or whatever we had last week during the middle of last week, so we needed the rain. No doubt about that. So there is, I'm going to give everyone out there permission who wants to take advantage of this on November 4th to call and tell me how big of an idiot I am, which I display that all the time. There's no doubt about that. Now, maybe I should just make a prediction, but I've been waffling on making a prediction just because I was so wrong in 2016. But I have said this. I think I said this to Josh, and I've said this to friends, because friends want to know, and even some of you who have emailed and occasionally on Twitter, what's going to happen in this election? Well, of course, I thought emphatically in 2016, as did many people, that there was no possible path for President Trump to win the election. Now, that's different than the number of votes that you're going to get, and let me get into that here in just a second. I, since 1999, when Realtor Politics have started as a polling site during the Bush and Gore election, have studied polling, have looked at polling. I'm kind of a polling geek. And I know many of you don't think polling is accurate at all. And the only thing, and this gets confusing to people, and you're probably not going to buy it anyway, but I'll say it. The only thing I would say is that in 2016, the polling was almost completely spot on. Well, wait a second. Hillary didn't win. How can you say that? Well, because the margin was, and if you look at the Real Clear Politics average, the margin for Hillary going in was 3.3. She won by 2.1 with the popular vote. Now, electorally, I didn't think Trump could win Pennsylvania. I missed that. Selena Zito's been on many times since that election. She wrote a book called The Great Revolt. I ignored even people locally who said, look, Trump's got the union supporters. You know, this is real. It's real in Michigan. Mike Kelly told me that early on of Kelly and Hancock. He had talked to some union folks. He saw, I don't think that he seriously thought Trump would win, but he knew that there was a lot of support out there. So Robert Cahaly with Trafalgar, and Trafalgar was a group that got it right. If you want to look at the outcome in 2016, the LA Times poll had Trump up as well. But Trafalgar kind of holds some cards when it comes to 2018 and their accuracy as well. So he thinks, Robert Cahaly, who runs Trafalgar, he thinks, and he's saying this in interviews, and we're going to play a little audio here, that there's still stuff going on out there that shows that Trump could win. And I think that there's something to this a little bit. He's really hinging this on the notion that a lot of the people out there just simply are not going to admit that they're going to vote for Donald Trump. You know, they're going to be those shy voters. So let's hear a little of this, Dave. Let's play the first cut is where he talks about why his results are different. If you just look at the results right now, if you go to Real Clear Politics, you look at the polling average, you can see Trump doesn't lead in any of these right now, and anywhere from a 5 to 12 point lead. And that's not very different than where Hillary was 4 years ago. But the numbers are a little different when you break them down into demographics and older voters versus younger voters, et cetera. Here's Cahaly on why his polling is different.
So the first thing is, know that there is a thing called the social desirability bias. Know that it was real in 2016. And I believe it is worse this time than last time, because last time it was, there are deplorables, this, that, and the other. And, the environment has totally changed in America since then. So you have a few dynamics working. First, Trump supporters are about 5 to 1 less willing to answer a poll to begin with. So if you don't start with the idea that you've got to work really hard to get a good sample of Republicans, you're going to start with a flawed poll. Second, the social desirability bias makes live calls the worst way to do it. What we use is we use a mixture of live, email, automated, text, and a few other digital things that we consider proprietary that we don't discuss. But we try to do a very balanced collection to ensure the people giving the survey feel that they are answering it anonymously. The more anonymous someone feels their participation in a poll is, the more honest they are.
I'm not sure where I've taken a couple of polls over the course of the last, 8 to 10 years. Every once in a while I get a call. But I've never felt like I was being identified, or it wasn't, it wasn't something that was anonymous. But look, the polling method that he uses, I think, is sound. And I think there is something to the shy voter. However, if you want to go back to 2016, just think about everything that he's saying there right now. And you, well, wait, did they get it wrong? I mean, I've made the case they didn't get it wrong, the pollsters. They did in certain states, but she still won the popular vote. That doesn't fly with people. I get it. Many of you are saying, wait a second, she either won or she didn't win. I get that. But that's not how we elect presidents. And Michael Moore has told us, we played the audio last year. Look, he can win by 5 million votes. He could win by 5 million votes, Joe Biden can, and still lose the election if he doesn't win the states that matter. You get a lot more votes in Florida. You know, last time what we saw is Hillary and Trump got more votes than Mitt Romney and Barack Obama. And we've seen voter registration really spike. So I think the number of voters in some of these states is going to go up. All right, a little bit more here from Kahaley. On the losing ground with seniors. So in Ohio, for example, we're told with some of the pollsters that white men and women 65 plus, because of COVID, he's losing support.
And I think that is completely COVID related, because seniors, unlike every other group, look at COVID a very different way. And not just because they're elderly and more likely to catch it. Most of them do not have children living at home that they would like to get out of the house to go back to school. Most of them did not have an interruption in their income because of shutdowns. And most of them were never worried about whether they worked affecting whether they had health care. So they would naturally be less likely to want to push the economy back going because the shutdown did not affect them to the same degree. It's just, it's logic, and it makes sense. And I've heard them say it. They're very nervous about it. So a traditional Republican stronghold would be that those same seniors are very much in play.
Yeah, so Kahaley knows. Look, he's a smart guy. He's talking about where Trump has been hurt. And that's, if you want to dial down on the issue, that could be the issue in Ohio. It's not going to take much. It's going to take maybe a few thousand senior voters to say, no, I can't do this at this point. So who is going to win? Robert Kahaley is staying strong on his prediction here.
Right now, I think Trump wins in the mid-270s. I think he wins Florida. I don't think Florida's a question. Ohio and Florida are not a question. Anybody talking about Georgia and Texas, that ain't going to happen. I think North Carolina, he'll edge out North Carolina and win it. And then he'll win Arizona. And so then it comes down to, he only has to win one of Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota. And I believe he will win one of them. And I think Michigan is an excellent chance for Trump victory. I would say probably of those four, Michigan is the most likely one that he will win. And if he wins the others, that's all he needs.
Everything that he said there, I think is in play. I mean, I don't know if he's right or not. I don't think any of us know. But what Robert Kahaley is, if you're looking for a path for Trump to win, that is the path. I don't think he wins Wisconsin. I think Biden's going to win Wisconsin. It's interesting that he says that Michigan is still in play, because that, I also feel like Biden could win Michigan. Pennsylvania and Florida, I think he's right about Florida. A lot of people talk about, I think a Latino vote is going to help him in, believe it or not, with older voters, in particular in Florida. I think that there might be, in some of these other states, Arizona seems to be a little bit more in play, but that's where he is right now. He's actually holding a campaign rally with big support. You know, people keep sending me pictures. There is one thing that we've talked about over the course of the election. That's the enthusiasm gap. And you're seeing this on display right now. And I think Trump likes this. You're not seeing a lot of support for Biden. You see media support. You see the cheerleading for Biden in the media. You don't see people turning out for Joe Biden. Now, maybe he's not doing as many events or inviting as many people because of so-called safety reasons, but that enthusiasm gap is real. It certainly manifested itself at the ballot box 4 years ago. Will it 2 weeks from tomorrow? We're going to find out soon enough. 3:15 at the Voice of St. Louis. I've heard these rumors that if you want to get a pool put in your backyard, you might have to wait a couple of years. Are they true? We'll investigate next on KMOX.
Miss any part of the Mark Reardon Show? Download the podcast anytime.
Initiating download. Stand by.
At KMOX.com/Reardon.
I got to apologize to my next guest for an awkward segue here, but this is just one of those crazy stories that broke right before the show about Jeffrey Toobin, the CNN analyst. He also works for The New Yorker. The New Yorker has suspended him suspiciously, or not so suspiciously. CNN hasn't said a word about this. So what happened was, is Jeffrey Toobin was on, I think most people recognize him. He used to be at ABC, he's at CNN as their legal analyst. He's one of the most annoying media people out there. So it couldn't have happened to a guy that I dislike more. He was on a Zoom call last week. Excuse me. Once again, I don't have the mute button here at home. He's got New Yorker employees on the Zoom call and some folks from WNYC Radio. He thinks he turns off the Zoom, you know, the video and the audio, and they could see him. It's described as exposing himself with his pants down. But there's lots of questions here. Like, was he just taking a pee, or was it something else? Was there something else involved? I don't think I need to be more specific than that, but it is a bizarro story. He's done, by the way. He's done, and I'm happy that he's done. So he's got a book out right now. I'm waiting to see if Trump's going to tweet about him, because Trump's going to. I could promise you that. All right. Look, I keep hearing, I have a hot tub, I do not have a pool, from Baker Pool, I should mention, fine, great sponsors of the past of my show, but I've talked to a couple of people, I know I have neighbors in my neighborhood who would love to have a pool, and it's maybe very difficult to do right now because of the backups. You know, you have some industries that have been doing great in all of this, some industries that have not done so great, but it ebbs and flows. And with us this afternoon to kind of talk about the reality of all this, Rob Warren, who's the Director of Design and Estimation, that's a big title, at Baker Pool Construction. Hey, Rob, how are you this afternoon?
I'm great, Mark. How are you?
So something tells me you've been a very busy guy here this summer. True?
Yeah, this summer busier than normal. It has been really unprecedented
now,
in terms of...
So, yeah... Now, is it mainly driven by, if we go back to, you know, March, and I had a membership for a pool in my neck of the woods that my daughter could go to, but obviously everything was shut down, so a lot of people inspired to maybe get a pool on their own. Is that the driving factor, or is it a combination of things right now?
I think that's the driving factor. We've seen our sales leads increase up to 400% since the coronavirus hit, and just here in the last couple of weeks, it started to level off somewhat. And when I say level off, I mean they've dropped to about 200%.
yeah,
it's been absolutely crazy, the interest.
So if I'm going to call, let's just kind of say I'm calling today, and I've decided I'm going to put a pool in my backyard. I would be, if you're going to do an estimate for me, because one of the other things I've heard is some of the companies are charging even to come out to do the estimate because of the demand. Is that true?
Well, we historically charge for our designs. A lot of time and effort is put into the design on the front end. but I'm certain that others have begun implementing some sort of design fee in an effort to potentially weed out some of the tire kickers, so to speak.
Yeah, but, and I think look, I get it. I completely get it. So if I were to call though and say that and I get the estimate, is it 2 years out? Is that the best case scenario, or does that depend also?
Well, two things. Number one, it starts with the phone call. If someone shows interest in a pool and we decide that we want to move forward and come out to their property and measure and create a design for them, that design process is going to take between 8 and 10 weeks currently with our current backlog. And then currently, if someone were to purchase a project from us tomorrow, we are well into the fall of 2021. So if you kind of just project that and say, if you call today and we got to you in 8 to 10 weeks and developed the design and then we agreed on that, then it's in all likelihood we're building that project in 2022. Now, I have heard the vinyl liner and fiberglass market they tend to have even bigger backlogs than we do. We only build about 35 to 40 projects a year. Mm-hmm. Some of the vinyl and fiberglass companies, they're going to be, the rumors are true. I've heard that they are out, you know, 2 years in terms of when you would actually be swimming.
How long does it take? So when you get everything done, you got the plans, you got the green light, you start digging in the backyard. What does that process usually take? Is that more than a month, or can it be done quicker?
Well, for our projects, it's more than a month. Typically, it's we tell most clients 6 to 8 weeks, but there are the projects that are quite a bit more detail involved and can run, you know, up to 4 months. It really just depends on the scope of work, what access is like to get to the site, to the build area. If it's tight access, it's going to take a little bit longer. We're not able to move as much material in a day as we would like to. So each job's a little bit different. I would say on most concrete pool projects, which is exclusively what we build as custom concrete pools, mm-hmm. they will range between 6 to 10 weeks. And vinyl liner and fiberglass pools, I would expect those projects to take, you know, closer to 4 to 6 weeks.
Well, I think you would agree, Rob. It's a pretty awesome problem for you guys to have, right? And, you know, it's just interesting to watch what's going to develop in the aftermath of this, because even, you know, I think home exercise equipment, golf has taken off, bikes have taken off. There are things that are just in such demand right now that it's even hard to find products.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And so people are just redirecting that spending dollar to their backyard or home improvement in general. I think we've also seen benefits from all these DIY shows on various networks. People will just get a little bit more excited about doing things to their house and making improvements to their home, and certainly a pool is one of them.
I don't want a pool, but I do want neighbors who have pools, and I have that. So that's
make sure they have a gate on your side of the. Make sure they have a gate on your side of the yard.
Exactly. Rob, thanks for coming on. I appreciate it. Tell Mr. John McCormick and the folks I said hi. I'm loving my hot tub here in the backyard this time of year. We'll talk soon. Good luck with everything.
Sounds great. Thanks so much, Mark.
Rob Warren with Baker Pool, the Director of Design and Estimation. I just thought that was interesting because I'd heard the rumors. So, yes, the rumors are true. It's going to take you a little while. I mean, it would take a while anyway, but even pushed further. I think the message there, if you listen to him, is if you think you want a pool in 2022, not next year, but if you think you want one built in 2022, you better act quickly. That's what I heard him say. 328 at KMOX, Polo Asensio. He is the Spanish language broadcaster for the St. Louis Cardinals. He also used to work for the Dodgers. He lives in the L.A. area. He's got some thoughts on not only the hot stove presentation as we move forward in the offseason, but also this World Series coming up next on KMOX. Welcome back. 338. We have an audio cut of the day and then Chiefs football this afternoon. We are joined by mi hermano Polo Asensio on the Cardinals Spanish language broadcast network. He's also a guy who worked for the LA Dodgers. He's out on the West Coast. Polo, how are you this afternoon?
I'm doing fantastic, hermano. Thank you again. And hey, glad to hear your voice. I hear you often, but I don't have a chance to talk to you often. But hey, let's do it. I mean, I know that we're always short on time, and my words get longer and longer, so let's go do it.
All right, let me start with this. This is a big deal because outside of the World Series, Major League Baseball today, the Players Association announced that it's launching an award in honor of the late Curt Flood. And that is amazing here because he made such an impact. It's the 50th anniversary of the former Cardinal center fielder's core challenge to make players able to go into free agency. I mean, I don't know if there was a more historic move in the last 50 years.
I mean, when you talk about free agency, you talk about the business of baseball. At one point, you know, the business was non-business. Everybody was owned basically by their team, and the players had no right to demand or even to speak up. Now we do it. You know, we see it. Some people like it. Some people don't. But at the end, and I've heard this a lot lately, and we're going to hear it a lot during this offseason, it is a business. And thanks to that, it's a business. It's a business that you can say is equal for the owners and for the players, and even for those that have, like myself, we don't have anything to do with what goes on the field. But thanks to those rules, regulations, and new ways of making business in baseball, us take advantage, and I don't mean that by taking advantage of getting something that doesn't belong to us, but I think we all get what we deserve, and that is great, man. That is great. I'm excited for every time there's a new award or something that comes up to recognize the players or a good executive of an organization. I like that, man. It's always nice. It's always good to get recognized, and I cannot wait to see who's the first one.
Let's talk about the World Series, but let's first talk about these two championship series that led up to it, because they ended up being immensely entertaining, and look at what the Dodgers did in historic form. How about Cody Bellinger? Not only what he did last night, but didn't he rob someone last week when it looked like the Braves were going to maybe be able to get back into that winning position early in this series? He got robbed in one of those games by Bellinger. Somebody did, didn't they, Polo?
Yeah. I mean, the defense, the Dodgers outfielders are playing amazing defense. And we've seen it, especially with Mookie Betts. Somebody was saying yesterday, you know, looking at Mookie Betts' contract and the $360 million for the next 13 years, it looks like a bargain right now for all the plays he's been making for the Dodgers. And basically that's what took him to the next level. I mean, obviously hitting doesn't hurt. You know, when you hit and your pitchers do a good job, you're going to win games. So that's what happened over the last 3 days with the Dodgers. I was very excited to see the Braves maybe move on to the World Series. A new team, you can say, you know, since back in the 90s when the Braves were constantly in the playoffs in the World Series, they haven't been there. So I was excited to maybe see something like that. But the Dodgers said, hey, Polo, hold on, man. We still have a lot left to prove. And we saw it last night. What a game last night. That's a great game 7.
It was a great 7. The Rays looked like they were going to let things slip away, and they win the game Saturday night. Like, look, it's painful. It's awesome to see a guy like Randy Arozarena just take off and become a superstar in baseball, but it's painful here in St. Louis. It's a little too early, though, to judge that deal that the Cardinals made, isn't it?
You know, I mean, Randy, and I have a really good relationship with him. I talk to him quite often. And, you know, he still loves St. Louis. He loves the Cardinals. He's very grateful with the organization that gave him that first chance or the first check to go into being a professional ball player. Randy's having a great offseason. I mean, postseason. You can see that. I don't need to tell you. You open the books, you open the newspaper, you get online, and you see what he is doing. But it's just this postseason, right? We don't really know what he's going to do, and we don't really know what Matt Liberatore is going to do. And I talked to Yadier Molina. We all know who that is. I say, hey, Yadier, what do you think about this? He's like, you know what? What Randy is doing is great. He's a horse. He is a tremendous ball player. But I had a chance to not only catch Matt, but also face him. And that kid is legit. So that kid is going to be good in the next couple of years. Yes, right now, yes, we're all hurting because the Cardinals didn't make it to the playoffs or to the World Series. And we see Randy. We saw Marcell Ozuna. But again, there's a process, and hopefully that process eventually does something good for us. Look what the Dodgers did. Just look at what the Dodgers are doing, and even the Devil Rays, or the Rays as they're called now. Both teams, they have a lot of players from within, especially the Dodgers. You look at Bellinger, you look at Barnes, you look at Smith, you look at the pitching staff, you look at Kershaw, Buehler, Urias, Gonzalez, all of those guys, Kenley Jansen, Pedro Baez. All of those guys are within the organization. So there is a process. And if it's going to take you a little bit, but eventually you're going to get there like the Dodgers are doing, I think we will all be fine in St. Louis.
Yeah, well, let's talk about the Cardinals just a little bit here. And, you know, there is, it's I think a lot of other fan bases might be amazed at our level of complaints, because look, we have high standards here in St. Louis, and we're of the opinion, and I think you know this, that there needs to be more pop in the middle of the order. So, you know, we're a few weeks away from all this kicking in with free agency. I would expect this market to be a little bit more active than the past couple of years. Would you?
It will be. It has to be, especially when it comes down with the Cardinals. We all know, we all saw the same games. And we see what other teams are doing. Going back to the Dodgers, that team is here to stay. Even if Justin Turner decides, or the Dodgers don't sign him back, they're still going to have Bellinger, Seager, Peterson. Perhaps they'll trade Peterson. They'll have Mookie Betts. They'll have their catcher, Will Smith. Look what the Padres are doing. The Padres have Machado. They have Tatis. They have Hosmer. They have even Tommy Pham, who, by the way, got stabbed just the other night. But, hey, thankfully he is fine now. You know, we see all those guys, all those teams like the Braves, and we need to get there. We are going to get there. Some way, somehow, the front office is going to make maybe a deal, maybe two deals, maybe bring a bat from somewhere, maybe sign somebody. But they know that if you are going to get to that level, the level that the Cardinals were 6, 7, 8 years ago, we need to bring some big bats. The bats that we have, they did what they could. Now let's see if we can bring somebody else to complement what we have here. And again, I'm not worried. I know it's going to get here. I know with time the Cardinals are going to get back to the World Series. And I know with time everybody's going to say, you know what? They were right. They were right. And I am glad we waited. I am glad we took our time. I am glad we didn't spend our money on some players that perhaps were not going to produce for more than 1 year. But hopefully that happens soon because, like you said, you know, Cardinal Nation is eager. We are, we're used to winning. You know, the Cardinals Nation is used to winning. And not making it to the World Series is not good enough in St. Louis right now. For other fan bases, yes, you know what? Get to the playoffs, be happy, like, let's say, San Diego. But now, next year, the Padres, they're going to say, you know what? We want to get to the World Series. The Dodgers, hey, let's get back to the World Series. The Braves,
the last 2 years,
let's do it again.
That's right. All right, 60 seconds here because we're on limited time, and this is very difficult for me to do this to you, as you pointed out earlier. But how do you see – I'm going to say – Dodgers in six. I'm just pulling that out of my ass, basically, because they're on a roll right now. What do you think?
That's what I just said. You probably didn't hear me, but before you finish.
Oh, I didn't hear you. You said that. Okay.
Yes, I did.
I missed that. Well, look, we're in line, and I apologize for that. I apologize that I did not miss that part, but we'll go with that. That sounds pretty solid to me.
Don't be surprised if the Rays win it, because they have the best pitching staff the Dodgers have never faced this season. So pay attention to the pitching staff of the Rays. If they hold up, the Rays can pull this off. But, again, I do think that it's time for the Dodgers. The experience is going to take them there, and I do believe they will win it.
Hermano, we'll talk soon. I appreciate it, Polo. Thanks.
Gracias, hermano. Buena suerte para todos.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
Cut of the Day is sponsored by the Good Feet Store, pain relief and comfort to fit any budget. We'll do a bit of an audio trifecta, starting with Dr. Anthony Fauci, who was on 60 Minutes last week with Dr. John Lapook.
Were you surprised that President Trump got sick?
Absolutely not. I was worried that he was going to get sick when I saw him in a completely precarious situation of crowded, no separation between people, and almost nobody wearing a mask. When I saw that on TV, I said, oh my goodness.
So Fauci also criticized his use of an ad. He's used in an ad. Fauci's using an ad that the Trump campaign has put out. Didn't like that. Well, the president's taken some shots back at Tony Fauci. For example, in Greenville.
Then you have my friend, and he's a nice guy. Tony Fauci. He's a nice guy. He said, this is not a threat. This is not a problem. Don't worry about this. Not that one's a problem. It's the craziest thing. Then he said, do not wear a mask. Do not wear a mask under any circumstances. Don't wear a mask. Don't, right? So we don't wear a mask. Then they say, oh, wear a mask. I never saw, do you ever see any conflicts? But he's a nice guy, so I keep him around, right? We'll keep him around. He's a Democrat. Everybody knows that. He's Cuomo's friend. Cuomo did the worst job of any governor in the United States.
Well, there you go. He's tweeting about Dr. Fauci as well. So I'm not sure what that does for the president on the campaign trail, but I guess he feels like he has to do it. By the way, I don't have any audio of this, and it's very disappointing because we should have just pulled a soundbite from Jeffrey Toobin. CNN's Jeffrey Toobin has been suspended by the New Yorker because he pulled his penis out on a Zoom call. Parents, I apologize. Just telling you the truth here. He's admitted to it. The circumstance is still a little mysterious, but that's a great story from today. Too bad there's no audio. We got traffic coming up and then Kansas City Chiefs football on KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.